are saying that it is most likely a criminal act. It is arson. And our churches are being burned. We saw two churches that were burned just last week. And here we are again with another one. Looks like the stream, there it goes, the stream just started. So today we're going to talk about these acts of arson. These are attacks, not just on churches. These are attacks on Christianity. These are attacks on Christians. When you attack a church, you are attacking the faith of those who built it. This cathedral, was constructed, began to be constructed in 1434. It's a glorious building. Let me show you the inside. Look at that. This is the faith of Christians. These are people who believe in Jesus Christ, and they want to build a temple, a church, a cathedral that honors Jesus Christ as King. They began building this in 1434, and it wasn't completed until 1891. That's 457 years to build this magnificent church for our Lord Jesus Christ. And some thugs, some criminals, some arsons started three fires in this beautiful church and have burned it. Now, Christians are asking themselves, what's going on here? And worst of all, where are our pastors? Where are our bishops? Where is the outrage? Where is the condemnation? Where is the investigation? Last year, Notre Dame in Paris burned. There's footage of people on the roof. There's footage of sparks or some kind of explosion. No one reported this. Worst of all, the Catholic Church did not pursue it. So today we're going to talk about these continued attacks on Christianity, the war on Christianity. And I'm going to make a plea tonight to not just the pastors, not just the bishops, but to Pope Francis himself. We need leadership, and we need a public condemnation of these acts. It's clearly an attack on Christianity. So we're going to begin tonight with a prayer. We'll pray the Our Father in Latin. I'll share it on the screen and pray with me, and then we'll get started. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would please protect us and protect our churches and help us to know what is the right thing to do, what is the prudent thing to do, and please give a spirit of courage for our bishops and for our Pope. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, just today I was reading 1 Maccabees. 1 Maccabees is a great book in the Bible. Unfortunately, Martin Luther removed it from the Protestant Bible. So if you're a Protestant watching tonight, it's not in your Bible. Your Bible is 7 books short. But it's been in there from the very beginning. Pope Damasus, in the year 382, when he canonized the Bible, he canonized not only the 27 books of the New Testament, but also the Old Testament. And he included books like 1 and 2 Maccabees. And I just read the chapter, it's like chapter 3 or 4 in 1 Maccabees, where they fight the war, they win, and then they go to Jerusalem, and they see the temple in Jerusalem and how it's been ransacked and how it's been desecrated, and they see, you know, bushes growing up in the courtyard, and everything has been knocked down, and the people mourn. They rent their garments. They see that the house of God has been defiled, and this leads them to rebuild the altar, to bring back the ornaments, to put back the golden lamp, to put decoration on the facade, on the temple, and to restore it to its former glory. And I couldn't help but thinking as I was reading First Maccabees, where is that leadership now? Where is that Maccabee spirit? You've heard me say, be the Maccabee. Where is that in the church? The zeal for the house of the Lord that consumes us. Instead, we're seeing flames consume the houses of Christ. Now, this is a clear attack on Christianity. It's a clear attack on Catholicism. You've seen me put the images up from the last week. Statues decapitated. I saw one today. It was a statue of our Lord Jesus Christ, and across his sacred brow, where the crown of thorns had been, it said, H-A-T-E, hate. Someone had taken a Sharpie and written the word hate on the face of Jesus Christ. We've seen statues decapitated, not only in America, but in Canada. And then this cathedral burning in France, it shows that this is an international coordinated attack on Christianity. The Catholic Church is under attack. And I think one of the reasons why they feel so bold in doing this is because we are so weak as a church right now. We all know it. We have been under a shadow of scandal since at least 2002, 2003, but since 2018, the Summer of Shame, when ex-Cardinal McCarrick was exposed as a pedophile and an embezzler, we have been under a shadow of shame. And our leaders, either they've been infiltrated and they're going along with it, and we've seen some of that. You see pastors out there who are, in a sense, essentially giving the green flag or the yellow flag to Antifa, BLM, LMNOP, etc. So some of them are in league with the wrong side. But there's also a group of them who may be good men. Maybe they started out with good intentions when they went to the seminary. They had a true faith. But they feel the shame, the scandal, the embarrassment that has been folded over the Catholic Church, and they don't want to say anything. So we're caught right now. We're caught. And enough lay people in 2020, if you're watching this, you're probably one of them, like myself. We're saying enough is enough. We don't want to be in a Catholic church with pedophile priests, priests who break their vows with a man or with a woman or with anyone. Preach heresy, preach globalism, preach syncretism, preach this maniacal, ecumenical message. That's not repent and believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized, as we read the first pope saying, Peter, in Acts chapter 2. We're hearing instead, all paths lead to God. Jesus is just one option. Bishop Barron, he's the privileged way. So in reality, what we see in the church is our leadership standing on a platform with equal footing with the Dalai Lama and imams and whatever. And they're all saying it's all good. If it's all good, why keep Lent? If it's all good, why wake up on Sunday and dress all your kids and go to Mass? Why not sleep in, binge some Netflix, go play golf, sit on the back porch? Skip church. But if our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through him. It's an exclusive message. Now, it's given to the whole world. But there's a very clear bridge to God, and that bridge is our Lord Jesus Christ. But what we hear is soft. And when it's soft, people lose their zeal. People lose their courage. So you couple the soft message of, well, it's all the same. And then you bring in all the scandals, and I think they're related. I think the soft message is by design with the scandals as well. That's the premise of my book, Infiltration. These things go together. What you have is a people that feel defeated. And our enemies, and yes, we do have enemies. Christ said, love your enemies. That means you're going to have enemies. Our enemies know that we're up on the ropes. They can smell blood in the water. They know that for the most part, the bishops of California aren't going to stand up to them. The Archbishop of Washington, D.C. isn't going to make a stand for pro-life. Sadly, the one that breaks my heart the most is they look to Rome and they see compromise and they see weakness. They pretty much know we can go and burn a cathedral and the Pope will do nothing about it. I suppose Pope Francis is going to issue a statement, but the statements that have come out essentially go, I am deeply saddened by this act. Or as Bishop Sticca said, what strange times we live in. Golly gee. That's not what I read today in 1 Maccabees. What I read in 1 Maccabees were a gathering of men who had zeal for the one true God and were willing to lay down their lives and to die to restore the temple of God, to restore the only true worship of God on planet Earth. And we're talking about Old Testament. Judah Maccabeus, the hammer. We need to have zeal. I mean, think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He put together a whip of cords and drove people out of that same temple because people were defiling it by buying and selling. That's bad. What about when people come in and light fires in your church? In Florida, a guy comes in with, drives his car into the church, dumps out gallons of gasoline, and lights it on fire. People were inside the church. Thanks be to God, no one got hurt. People were in the church. Do you think our Lord Jesus Christ would just sort of shrug? I'm deeply saddened by this. What strange times we live in. No. No. This is why we need to read the Bible every day. Wait, Taylor Marshall, you're Catholic. I thought Catholics don't read the Bible. No. You need to read the Bible every day. The Bible is read in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass every single day, 365 days a year, to the laity. You need to know the Bible. You need to know who Jesus Christ is in the Gospels. The one who drove people out of the temple. The one who told them at the Last Supper, go and buy a sword. The Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, who slays his enemy with the sword of his mouth at the end times. This is the God that we worship. As Moses said, our God is a warrior. There needs to be strength. There needs to be a Maccabean moment. Yes, there needs to be outrage. I'm not talking about going out and killing people. I'm talking about we need to defend our churches. We need our bishops to condemn it openly. We need to call upon the authorities to do full investigation. It can't be when Notre Dame in Paris burned down and everybody kind of shrugged their shoulders. That one holy good priest ran in and got the Blessed Sacrament. Thanks be to God. We need some leadership. And so I'm making a plea. Pope Francis, Bishop of Rome. The Pope is supposed to be the successor of St. Peter. If you're not a Catholic and you're watching, we Catholics, we don't worship the Pope. We don't think the Pope is sinless, obviously. Read history. We don't even think the Pope is infallible all the time. He's only infallible on faith and morals when he speaks ex cathedra, which is very limited and very rare. But we do believe the Pope is the successor of St. Peter. Peter was the leader of the apostles. And so we believe that the popes descend, their successors in Rome, because Peter died in Rome, They are the successors of St. Peter, and they take the leadership of the church. The Pope is the pastor of all the pastors. He is a bishop. He's the lead bishop. He has apostolic succession, and his succession is as successor of St. Peter. So we Catholics look to the Pope as Peter. And we realize Peter wasn't a perfect man, and popes are not perfect men. We don't expect our popes to be sinless, but we do expect our popes to strengthen the faithful, confirm the brethren, feed my sheep, all the things that Christ said when he commissioned St. Peter to give him the keys to the kingdom of heaven, to bind on earth. So when Christians in Africa, in Asia are being attacked, just today, or was it today or yesterday, Christians in America were stabbed in church. We need awareness. And no one's going to listen to Taylor Marshall on his webcam. Yes, I have a platform. But think about if the Pope said these things, what it would do to inspire the faithful across the globe. Even non-Catholics would be like, there is a man who is a shepherd. There's a man who's a pastor. I can get behind that. So that's my plea tonight. And I don't know how we do it. Do we do it on Twitter? Because the Pope has a Twitter account. Do we request, please say something. Please speak. You know, it'd be similar if someone came into your house and lit a fire in the kitchen. And the kids looked to dad and he said, this is an unfortunate situation. Dad, we need you to do something more. We call the Pope Papa. Pope means Papa. We're looking for the Papa. Now we know our Heavenly Father is in control. He's our true Father, our Father who art in heaven. Christ is with us. The Holy Ghost is with us. But the Holy Trinity uses men as instruments. The Holy Trinity could reveal the gospel to all 7 billion people on earth like that, and it would be done. But what the Holy Trinity desires is that we, the baptized, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28. God uses human instruments, and that's you and me. But our role as lay people is limited. I can't put on the big mitre, the pointy hat, and make a big statement. I can come on YouTube, do a little talk. That's what I'm doing. But what we really need are our leaders to stand up. We need our bishops to condemn this. A bishop in Florida should be there. I loved seeing Archbishop Corleone in San Francisco. He went to the site where they pulled down the Junipero Serra statue, and he led the rosary, and he did an exorcism on the spot where it happened. That's what we need. We need that going on every single day, because our enemies ultimately aren't George Soros, Antifa, name the acronym. Ultimately, our enemies are the devil and all of his demon minions. So they're working through people. They use human instrumentation just as God uses human instrumentation. So I'm going to end there. This is a short video. I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention. Not everyone. I was surprised on Twitter and other social media places when I was talking about the burning of this cathedral today, how many people didn't know about it? And again, the news and the media are not reporting on this. We're kind of on our own. Yes, Fox News will report it, other places. But these other burnings, again, they're met in the public square and in the media. That's unfortunate. A church caught on fire. How odd. Imagine if this were a mosque. You would have heard about it. It'd be everywhere. It'd be on constant repeat on CNN. Hate crime. Burning of a mosque. Intolerance. If it was a synagogue, same thing. We Christians do not get that attention in the Western media, because we're in a battle. This is a real war. So again, I'm calling on Pope Francis, calling on the cardinals, calling on the bishops, the pastors, deacons, the leadership. Let's see some zeal. Let's see some Judah Maccabeus out there, because we lay people, we will rally to you. You know, you may have noticed, bishops, that not people aren't given as much money anymore. The bishop's appeal, the diocesan appeal, no one's given money to that. We have lost our confidence in you. I'm not giving money to Peter's Pence. That's the fund that goes to the Pope. Zero. Nothing goes to them because we have lost confidence. And they have yet to release the McCarrick Report. We've been waiting 2 years, Pope Francis, bishops, 2 years for the McCarrick Report. Oh, we're working on it. Coming any day. 2 years. I think they're just waiting for him to die. That's the delay. They need the man to die. They need the pedophile, predator, priest, bishop, archbishop, Cardinal McCarrick to go away, because he knows too much. A lot of men who have their bishop's mitres got it because of the instrumentation of that Judas priest, McCarrick. So bishops, we don't trust you. We are losing our confidence in you as teachers, as sanctifiers, and now as the churches are burning, we're losing our confidence in you as governors of the church, leaders, shepherds. So now's your moment. Now's your moment, bishops. Now's your moment, Pope Francis. Be the Maccabee. Stand up. Show us some zeal. Show us some investigations. Come clean. And let's put an end to this growing persecution, because I've been telling my wife and telling my kids and showing them these pictures. I'm like, kids, are y'all ready for this? This is going to ramp up. They're emboldened. And again, they smell the blood in the water. The sharks are circling. They're doing this and there's no repercussions. So there it is. If you like this video, please hit the thumbs up. And please subscribe if you're new. Hit that bell. And the best thing you can do is share this video. I guarantee this message is not going to be preached, most likely, or proclaimed in your local church on Sunday, if you can get to Mass on Sunday. Your bishop's not likely going to write a letter about this. And Francis, maybe I'm wrong, is probably not going to put out a forceful statement or a papal document on this. I think for the short term, we're sort of on our own, which is a sad, sad thing. So if you want people to know about it, hit share. Share it on Facebook. I truly appreciate it. That's the best thing you can do for my work, my message, whatever this is, a YouTube show. All right, we're going to close in prayer. And we'll pray the Ave Maria and the Gloria Patri. And we're going to pray this for our bishops and for the Pope. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. And Father, we commit all of our churches, we commit our lives to you. We know that when we were baptized, we committed to be faithful to you, even unto death. And so we ask that you would give us that courage, that strength, that joy, and help us not to become bitter or angry, but to always have the joy and peace that Jesus came to give us. We pray in his name. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, you know what I'm going to say next. Pray the rosary every day. The rosary is a weapon. You know, when you think back to the Maccabees, or you think back to Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came back to restore the temple, what they did in Ezra and Nehemiah, you got to read the Bible every day. You got to know these stories. But in Ezra and Nehemiah, they had some of the men stand on the walls, because the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down and the temple had been torn down. They had some men stand guard on the walls with weapons, while the other men made bricks and rebuilt the walls and rebuilt the city. That's what we have to do. We have some of us are actually building it. I really think that should be the clergy, the priests. They're building the kingdom brick by brick with souls. But there's other ones of us who can't do that kind of work. And so what we do is we stand by with the weapons. And by the way, the men who were working, they also had swords and weapons on their hip. So they might have had a shovel. They might have been doing brickwork, but they also had a weapon. So the clergy also carry that weapon on their hip. We need to take up these weapons and pray. Because when we pray and we meditate on the mysteries of the gospel and the life of Christ, the plans of the demons explode. They are thwarted. We don't see it. This is all spiritual. But when we pray, we interrupt and confuse the demonic activity. So if all of us are praying, there's over 3,000 of us live right now. If all of us are praying, we are, in a way, undoing the knots of the demonic. So we must be praying. And Our Lady appeared to St. Dominic in the 1200s. She gave him the 15 mysteries of the rosary and said that with this rosary, you'll destroy all heresies. So it's very powerful. And then you may have been on the show last week, or was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago. And I said, you know, I was praying and thinking about it, and I think we need to take it up a level. Not just pray the rosary every day, but read the Bible for 15 minutes. I'm realizing that the stories of sacred scripture, which are true, is what inspires us to follow the pattern of the saints before us, Old Testament and New. And it gives us the true message of the gospel. So when you hear a bunch of junk in the pulpit, like, oh, when Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves, it just inspired people to share their lunch. So people shared their lunch and everyone ate. Yeah, 5,000 people ate? No. The gospel's teaching a miracle in which Christ multiplied food. A miracle. It's a miracle, not just a sharing moment. It's a miracle. When you read the Bible and you hear this junk from pulpits, you realize that you've been infiltrated. You realize that these guys don't believe that Christ is the Son of God who does miracles, who rose from the dead. So we have to read the Bible every day. So what I'm recommending is you get a real Catholic Bible, the Douay Rheims Bible, the DR. Do not use the New American Bible. Get the Douay Rheims Bible. Read it 15 minutes every day. Begin in Matthew and read the four Gospels. That'll put you, reading the four Gospels and then reading the New Testament and reading the whole Old Testament. Read First Maccabees if you want to get jazzed up. You want to get psyched up this week over the burning and desecration of the houses of God? Read First Maccabees. You will be on fire. Instead of churches being on fire, you'll be on fire. So read the Bible every single day. Make sure you're reading the Catholic Bible and make sure you're following Catholic commentary so you don't get misled. Okay, so that's a show. Read the Bible every day. Pray the rosary and remember our Lord Jesus Christ said you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Have a blessed Sunday worshiping Jesus Christ, the one true